Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. I am Josue Pavone alongside Sean Dutra. We're both back, right? We took last episode off, but now we're back. Two-man show this time around. Joel Pavone is enjoying the beautiful beaches of Roatan. Must be nice.
Yeah. Must be nice. Yeah, it must be nice while we're sitting up here in 70-degree weather that turned into snow for no
Fresh
reason.
Fresh off a storm. Right, right. Fresh off a storm.
Ridiculous.
But
get
you know what,
snaps.
Sean? The Celtics are back to their winning ways, man. They stretched this thing out to 11 out of 12. They had that one L right before the All-Star break that we didn't see coming. But they made up for it with two back-to-back wins fresh off the All-Star break. And now, the national media, Sean, they used the word contender next to the Celtics, man. How could this have happened so quickly? I can't believe it. A month ago, we were talking about this team potentially being stuck in the play-in tournament. Now, not only are they the 6th seed, but they're only a game and a half behind Philly for the 3rd seed. So look out, the Eastern Conference, and of course, the entire league is on notice right now. I mean, and rightfully so. This team has not only been the best defensive team in the NBA, but they're just the best team right now overall, the hottest team in the NBA right now, and everyone is everyone's paying attention to them.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you think about it, like, it's not that the Celtics were like a bad team or like a bad roster. Just they were never playing up to the potential that they should have been playing at. So, like, when you look at the team on paper, like, going into the season, you're like, yeah, they should be contenders. But that thing that held them back was what has always held them back. Inconsistent play. They can't, you know, put it all together. It seems like they always had meant. Yeah, they just would beat themselves, play down a competition. And then now you're finally seeing what I think is what this team with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown should be like. They should be a top 4 team in the East consistently. They should be a contender every year with those two guys. So, yeah, I think I don't know. I'm not surprised that, you know, now that they're winning and winning consistently, that the national media or the NBA is, like, thinking, like, oh, we better watch out for the Celtics because that 1-2 punch is lethal, man. They have everything you would want in a contender on the roster. It's just – They were never able to put it together, but now they are. So, I mean, hell yeah, man! This is what we expected the entire time.
Are they the biggest reason for this though? Like, let's start right there. I mean, like,
I think Tatum is
the biggest piece of the blame pie, so to speak. The who gets the blame for all this success, and who's the one that you think? I mean, yeah, you could say Tatum and Brown because clearly they're the leaders here, and this is their team. But like. I don't know, man. I feel like we got to give the most respect or the most props to Ime Udoka. I mean, the system,
sure. The
way he's been on these guys, that sort of tough love. I mean, I think he would get the biggest piece. I think Jaylen and Tatum are definitely up there as well. But, I mean, between the three of those guys, like, yeah, there's plenty to be said about what they've been doing the past month. But what's, in your opinion, what did it for this team? What was the turnaround? What was the spark? How did this happen?
Well, I think the most consistent – so for me, if I'm like – if you're making the why are we winning hierarchy, I do think that, like, there's a top tier and there's three people. And this is going to sound – maybe 4 people because I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are playing together well. So you have to say, like, that's something that they weren't doing before. They're doing it now. I think, to your point, Ime Udoka has finally got through to the team to play defense. and really be a defensive team. And then lastly, and I think most importantly, like we've said all along, the heartbeat of the Celtics is Marcus Smart. And he's playing the best basketball he's ever played. He's fitting into the team.
I agree.
Better than he ever has. And he's facilitating. He's taking that point guard role that we said, can he do it? He's doing it at a very high level.
Yeah.
Not turning the ball over, facilitating offense, playing awesome defense. So, like, yeah, that's what you – and then the role players sort of fit now. It sort of makes a lot of sense. So, everything – it's almost – are you a little worried it's like too good to be true right now, bro? Like that's like
my only thing is the injury bug. I mean, we've been covering this team for how many years now? Like it happens every year, right? Every single year. So I'm like, where's it gonna happen? When's it gonna happen? I mean, people forget last season it happened with Jaylen. It happened with one of your best players, you know. So who's to say that won't happen again? Tatum. I mean, that's my only thing.
Tatum missed a chunk of time with COVID last year too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. But I was thinking more of just the postseason. But yeah,
That's the only thing
in my back of my mind. I'm waiting for that shoe to drop.
Well, it sounds like an excuse. And I think we all were like, well, we can't blame injuries or COVID. But, like, this team was ravaged by injuries and COVID and not having their starting lineup.
We gave them no slack for that whatsoever.
No, we didn't. And it probably was unfair because, like, how are they supposed to play as a unit if they're constantly missing a different piece each time? But I think to your point, the starting five, if they can stay healthy, is legit, like probably the best 1-5 in the Eastern Conference. Like I'm talking about 1-5. You know what I mean?
Sean, you're not the first person to say that. Like all of a sudden, I'm telling you, since the All-Star break, it's like, the Celtics, they do have one of, if not – the best starting five in the Eastern Conference. I'm like,
seriously,
since when this team?
No, it's the one that healthy.
The one we were trashing a couple of months ago.
Yeah, the starting five hasn't
changed. Like it's always been this way, and I love the starting five. I never wanted to shake it up, you know. And then now, look, both of us haven't even been around, you know, since the trade deadline. Now you added a guy like Derek White, who's been tremendous on both ends. You know, can move the ball around.
Yep.
Fits the mold. Comes from that same background, the you know school of Popovich, so to speak. And, you know, that's a guy who, along with someone like Daniel Tice to address the front court, that's insurance right there as well. I mean, these are both pieces that not only can you fit in to what this team is doing, but also they're two guys that are going to, you know, reaffirm that for you. You're going to be in the locker room, going to be, good voices for the team. I mean, look, for what we've seen thus far, it's been quite a ride. I just don't see how this thing shakes up unless it's an injury. Unless one of those guys, because this team is so top heavy, one injury can really do this team in for sure.
Yeah, I think you that the only like starter that you have on your bench is Derek White, right? Starter caliber player. I think that's like so maybe they can sustain us. They can keep this up with like a little bit of a bump of like maybe losing one player for a week or so, but overall, like health is a big factor going into the playoffs. And the biggest thing for me, man, we don't have to, if everything goes as it's going right now, which I do think it will, because I actually, when we talk about the Pistons game, I take a lot away from this victory today. I actually do, but like, I do think it's going to continue. And the best part is that, whatever happens, they're going to have either easy first round series win, depending on how high they can get up in the standings, or
home court is key.
Get home court, right? And then, or like a really competitive playoff run. Like, they're going to be competitive, which is, I think, if we were talking about it, you know, a month ago, we would have all thought first round exit. See you later. Maybe if we get out of the play-in tournament, right? So that's huge from going, you know, from where they were to where they are now. And I called this shit, bro. I said all this team needs is a nice 5-6 game win streak, get everything all going, and you got this all happened. Actually, you know what?
Yeah, better said than done, man. I mean, any team could go for a 6-7 game winning streak. Like,
but you know what?
Make a difference for any team.
This started. You know when the win streak started? After you and Joel finally picked up on looking ahead and pick the Celtics to go 4-0. And then they did.
4-0.
And they did. And then they haven't looked back since, bro. I've been telling you to do that for years, and you guys wouldn't do it.
Because we believed it. That's why. We didn't go say some shit just to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It is. We did this. You're welcome, Celtics Nation. Causeway Street has you.
Well, I'm glad we're talking Derek White, and in particular this game against the previous game against the Pistons, because he didn't have a good night. I mean, a good day rather. It was a matinee early start, maybe knocked him off his swag a bit, but easily his worst game as a Celtic, but the only one I've had a problem with since he joined the team. So there's a lot to be said about that. I mean, what's it been, 2 weeks now? So yeah. I mean, look, the sample size is small, but there's no. It's not up for debate as to how productive this team is when he's on the floor and when he's doing his thing. Now, what I'm trying to say is when he wasn't doing his thing on offense, Peyton Pritchard off the bench was huge for the Celtics. I'm not quite sure the Celtics come out of that game with a win if it wasn't for Pritchard in that fourth quarter. Maybe I'm exaggerating a bit.
No, but I think you're right.
He made it easier for this team. You know, they really closed the door on the Pistons, and look, 19 points off the bench. I don't know if you can count on that every single night, but look, 3 3-pointers, 3 for 5. He has, you know, those backdoor cuts, 6 assists. You know, we know he's not going to give you a whole lot on the defensive end of the floor, but when someone like Derek White, or let's say, I don't know, for example, if it's Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown, if one of those guys are not cutting it on the offensive end, Peyton Pritchard could be a valuable asset to have off the bench, not only to counteract those slow starts from offensive guys that you need night to night. But he could also be a surprise in the fourth quarter, you know, a guy who could sort of hold down the fort while guys are resting, and a spark, an offensive spark that this team just hasn't had off the bench for the last two seasons. I mean, who's an offensive spark off the bench that you can think of that you can rely on? You know, I mean, I guess it's been Grant Williams this year, but that's been a revelation, you know, and now you have someone like Peyton Pritchard. Hopefully this could be something, you know, that you can count on moving forward.
Yeah, I will say, Peyton Pritchard should feel really big confidence boost that he's on this team still. You know what I mean? After the trade deadline.
He survived the trade deadline. Yeah, that's a good point. No Romeo around you. You know, you look around you, you're like, damn, Romeo's gone. You know, Nesmith's the only younger guy, you know, around. This is it. Yeah. It's like a sense of belonging, right?
He's he probably knows, too, that, you know, next year isn't promised for him in a Celtics jersey either. So, I was really impressed to see him sort of really, you know, when the ball was moving around, he wasn't afraid to shoot and he was making them today. So that was great to see. Peyton Pritchard played really well today. But you know what else? Celtics freaking suck in matinee games.
No, what is up with that, man?
This wasn't even a matinee game. This was an extra matinee because it was 11 o'clock in Detroit, morning, right? It was 11 morning, o'clock in Detroit. What the hell was that?
You want to go grab brunch and go to the game? Like, this is like, that's what they were doing out there. Like, this is early.
Seriously. Yeah, and Joel sent the halftime show. They just had people trying to, like, get everyone turned up. It's like, bro, it's noon. All right? Like, what are we doing here?
Relax. I got my kids with me. Relax.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what is this?
Wife left me with the kids for the day. I'm just
so happened, you know, the matinee Celtics game is on, so just sort of worked out, you know.
Right, tickets are like $18 over there. Like,
yeah,
like,
you know, I was considering Disney on Ice, but I mean, we might as well. The Celtics are playing, so we're good. Anyways, no, man. I mean,
it's such a Sean approach to Saturday morning.
What do you mean? What do you mean, bro?
Like you would think, you would say, like, if there was a Celtics game at 11 a.m., one, you would not miss that. Two, you would take Jordan with you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is a Saturday, perfect. And three, you would not be trying to hear all that noise at halftime. You'd be like, yo, what are we doing? Yeah. I'm still sipping my coffee. I haven't even, you know, or maybe you won't be drinking coffee. Bro. You're drinking something else.
I mean,
you probably wouldn't be drinking coffee. I'm at the garden. But you would,
to be honest, I'd be the only dude. No, I'd be the only dude that is turned up at halftime because I'm at the game, bro. It doesn't matter what time, man. I'd be that guy.
I want the Celtics to do a 10 a.m. start and see if you do it. I think you're
there,
right.
There, bro.
I think that'd be right up your alley.
You know, like, Causeway Street bar would do like kegs and eggs or some shit, bro. They just like, you know, have like one of those morning breakfast at beer shits, man. I half expected the Celtics because of that's why I think this Pistons win was good, right? Two things. They had the loss to the Pistons going into the All-Star break, which everyone overreacted to. Like, good teams lose that in that spot, like before the All-Star game, to bad teams. That's just what good teams do. They take their foot off the brake and foot off the gas. And then to go back to Detroit to play the team that beat you in a matinee, it was a super trap game. And I think the team, you know, even though some players didn't show up, we talk about Derek White, we talk about you know, I don't necessarily think Al Horford had a great game, really, you know. But either way, they did what they needed to beat a team that has been streaking in a matinee game. That's a big – the Celtics lose that game. The Celtics – you could – that's a circled loss before this winning streak. Would you agree? Like, this would be a loss, a scheduled loss.
Yeah. I also think that they probably lose this game if they didn't lose before. You know what I mean? It had to be like a revenge game for them. But
yeah,
the fourth quarter execution had a lot to do with that. You know, I thought they did a good job of targeting Cade Cunningham, who, of course, is a favorite to win Rookie of the Year, but he's not the best defender. I thought they did a good job of getting at him. Al Horford played well, though, on defense, especially in switches. I thought Al wanted all the smoke down low. He was trying to get going, but defensively he was there, you know, and that's a big reason why he nearly played he nearly played 40 minutes in this one because he had to. I feel like Ime didn't trust the closing lineup with White, you know, playing the way he was. And because Al was so tremendous on defense and surviving those switches, that it made sense to stick with those guys, stick with that starting five.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a little bit pissed on Al because he let Corey Joseph go in to ruin my bet. But that could be just it. But either way, like, overall – like, it sounds silly, but big win for the Celtics. Getting back in the winning streak, just, you know, happy to see it because I was a little bit nervous going into this game thinking, like, this is, like, the trappiest of trap games, you know? So they survived.
This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag. Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. And even right to the Olympic coverage is the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, well, before we look ahead, Sean, we can't not talk about the trade deadline, the biggest trade of the trade deadline, which wasn't Derek White. No, not at all. It was James Harden switching teams yet again. He's now a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons is now a member of the Brooklyn Nets. I guess what's your reaction to this? And now that we're, what, about 2 weeks removed from the trade? James Harden made his Philly debut Friday night, did his thing, him and Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid looking like an MVP favorite right now, certainly a candidate. How do you feel about this Philly team? You know, obviously they spent quite a bit to get their guy, but they got the best guy in the trade. They're looking to make that push to the NBA Finals. How do you feel about the Philadelphia 76ers winning the East and now that they have James Harden on their team?
So, I mean, yeah, a lot of people have been saying that, like, how much better Brooklyn got. And I actually think that Brooklyn got a lot better with the – like, not with the trade – they're going to get a lot better when the mandate lifts and they get Kyrie full time. That's how Brooklyn gets better.
That's a huge part of this too, Sean, because I always envisioned it happening around April-ish. Now that it's happening this soon, that's a huge advantage for Brooklyn right now.
Yeah. But yeah, so like,
what happened there, by the way? We'll get into that later. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe we'll get into that. But I don't want to spend too much time talking about Mr. You know my feelings about the person that we're referring to. Anyways, I always thought from the get-go, like you just said, Philly got the best. Philly basically traded Andre Drummond and Seth Curry for James Harden. How do you not see that as an upgrade? They didn't have Ben Simmons playing at all. You basically trade Seth Curry and Andre Drummond for James Harden. And the thing is about Harden is like, okay, is it like people who are writing him off? His stats this year have been good, like great, like probably all NBA type stats. But people, I think, look at like his buy-in to Brooklyn. And I think he was pissed about Kyrie. And now that he's going to a situation that he always wanted to be in, never wanted to go to Brooklyn. He wanted to go to Philly to begin with. He's going to be motivated. I think you saw that last night in his first game, put up 27 and 12. They looked literally unstoppable. So, yeah, I think Philly wins this trade by a landslide. But both teams get better. That's the problem. And if we're from the Celtics' point of view, not the best timing for all this stuff to sort of go down, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, not only do both teams get better, but there's a good chance you're going to face one of them. And it's probably going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't know. I feel like if the Celtics are to make a deep playoff run, they're going to run into Philly. And that's a really tough matchup. Even though they do have a good record, season record against this team, this is a different team now. But with that being said, you lost some shooting in this trade, right? Seth Curry, from the stats, he's actually shooting better than his brother. In regards to what happened in All-Star weekend. So that's a hole there, you know. But at the same time, there's a short list of teams that I think the Celtics should be worried about. But if you put yourself in the position to have home court advantage, there's a good chance you're only going to be facing one of those teams, one of three of those teams, whether it be the Miami Heat, whether it be the Milwaukee Bucks, or whether it would be the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, I think those are the three teams that you have to be most scared of. But out of those three, the Philadelphia 76ers are probably going to be the most challenging.
Honestly, Sway, like, to what you, like, you're talking about scary teams in the East. The top six teams in the East are going to be battling each other as early as the first round. Like, you could legitimately be looking at, like, in any of the top six teams literally playing each other in that 4-5 game. Like that could be a Milwaukee. It could even be Milwaukee Celtics. It could be like the Bulls versus the Heat or something. Like there's going to be some huge matchups early in the playoffs. So I don't even think you can really look at the rest of the Eastern Conference. You just got to get to the top. You just like they need to keep winning. The only way the Celtics can, I think, make a deep playoff run is, this may sound silly, but get the number one seed. Like, you need to get the number one seed. So then you literally avoid Brooklyn, who the number two or number three seed could possibly play Brooklyn in the first round, which is just wild. Then you can also avoid that 4-5 matchup, like even the 3-6, like that. There's no easy outs in the Eastern Conference this year, except if you get the one seed. So, like, the Celtics, I think, the biggest thing for the Celtics to do is to keep winning. Don't take your foot off the gas. Get to the number one seed and then hold it. Because that's their – I think when we're looking at, like, the way the Celtics will be able to get over this trade and get over the fact that, you know, the two best teams in the East got better and you still have Milwaukee bringing in pieces left and right in the buyout market, you got to get the number one seed. That's I think, where we're at.
Damn. That's the first time I heard that. All right, Sean.
Well, I mean, I'm serious, man.
Is there 20 games left? I mean,
20 games left.
If you do the math, there is time. It is possible, but
there's plenty of time, and it's not like any of the teams have to fall off. But if you can go like if there's, let's say, if you go 15-5 over the last 20 games, you have a chance. You have a chance to hit that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Like, you're only four games back? The number one seed. Let's see what happens.
All right, well, with that being said, let's look ahead.
We looking ahead, yeah.
Oh, he's back. Pipes are back.
Yo. Hey, hey, everybody. You know what it's time for?
That damn keyboard. Yo. So where's my Connect Flight, sir? Tell me, where's my Connect Flight? Can you tell me?
Hold on.
I'm not going to two cities, all right?
I can get you to your destination, but you got to stop it at Tulsa. It's an overnight stay in Tulsa.
No, I need a direct flight, sir. No, that's ridiculous. Keep looking.
Hey.
When they're looking even harder, they start pressing even
harder. The keys are going crazy.
I'm trying. I'm looking. You know?
It's like you do understand, sir. If you just go on Google, you can look exactly what I'm looking at, right?
It's 2022, sir. You know that. My travel agent told me, all right? There is a flight. It's a direct flight. Keep looking.
All right. So here's where we're sitting. The Celtics.
Where are we
the
sitting?
The Celtics are going to have to leave Detroit, travel through Cheyenne, Wyoming, overnight stay. Oh, then bypass through Indiana. Celtics play the Pacers tomorrow night at 5 p.m. So the Pacers are absolutely reeling at this point. They have nothing to play for.
Yo, they got some pieces, though.
They got Duarte.
Duarte's back. You got Brogdon's back. I don't know if that was just a rehab start or whatever, but he was back in the lineup a couple nights ago. I don't know. We'll see.
Which is fine. They're also, if they, to be perfectly honest, they should be tanking at this point. So they should be losing games. They traded Sabonis, their best player. Sabonis was the best Pacer probably since Paul George. Paul George. Yeah. Like they went from, like, I just don't get how. We got to talk. Can we talk about that trade for a minute? That trade.
I love it.
I
love it for Sacramento.
I'd love it for Sacramento too. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't think the Pacers, everyone's like, whoa, why did we trade Halliburton? Like, dog, you traded the only piece to build around in Indiana. And you know what? Sabonis probably would have been okay in staying in Indiana for the rest of his career. He's not like Showtime. Like, he probably is like, okay, I'll stay here, build around me. Pay me my money and let's build a team. Right. I don't know why they would give up on that, because now you know Halliburton's out the first chance he can. You know, like, I don't know what they're trying to do, but either way, Celtics Pacers 5 p.m. tomorrow, so another matinee-ish game for the Celtics. Then Pacers, and then they get back home for the start of a 3-game homestand. So we'll go through the whole three. They got the Hawks traveling to Boston, which has been like an Achilles heel. And, you know, before the All-Star break, we were able to take them out, and for the first time all season, which they've had our number. So that'll be an interesting game. The Hawks.
If you're asking me, that loss was the turnaround. Like, after that loss, I just think their approach has just been completely locked in, solid. And it all started in that game in New Orleans. That was right after the Hawks game.
That was in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I was there.
You
that
wonder?
Was the last game. That was the last time I saw them play the way they did in that fourth quarter, where it was just, you know, the effort wasn't there. Then they got desperate, and the game was over. It was too little, too late, you know.
You think Ime caught them doing stuff in Atlanta? I don't know, partying up too hard or something? And that maybe, like, you know, he's been hard on them all season. And, you know, every time they go to Atlanta, there's always something that happens. Maybe something – I wouldn't be surprised to hear about something coming out after the end of the season. Something happened. Maybe that's how Ime got the respect of the room, because it seems like you're right, 100%, man. Like, that was a typical Celtics not worrying about anything performance. Like, oh, we lost, no big deal. And then after that, you know, the next game they totally blew out the Pelicans. So I don't know. And then so again, 3-game homestand. You got the Hawks. You got the Grizzlies coming to town, which will be a tough game. Grizzlies playing really good basketball right now. Ja Morant, probably. I don't know why Ja Morant's not getting a ton of MVP discussion, probably because they're not a top three
because the team sucks. Yeah, you know the answer to that question.
No, I mean the Grizzlies.
That's the rule of the NBA, man. You can't be an MVP candidate if your team ain't a top team. That's just how
they're the top. They're number three in the West, bro.
No, I know that, but at the same time, they just got there though. Like, you can't just be like, "Oh, he's an automatic MVP candidate," because they got to stay there. We'll see.
I don't know. I mean,
he'll get votes. Don't get me wrong, but candidate that, like a top four, I don't know. I don't know if he's quite there yet.
Well, you think about it. I mean, who do you have in your top four? I mean, it's Joel Embiid, Giannis.
Embiid, Giannis.
Booker should be getting MVP.
I was gonna say Booker, but people are probably gonna lean towards Chris Paul.
Which is bullshit. But he's missing a ton of time now. So,
yeah.
Chris Paul's never won an MVP, right? Yeah. No. I think if Booker can keep the team at the top of the Western Conference without Chris Paul there, then he should be a lock in. Him versus Embiid for the MVP. I think that makes a lot of sense. Anyways.
Yeah, I think Embiid gets it this year. I think he gets it this year for sure. You know,
Ja Morant's in the conversation. I'll just put that out there. Ja Morant and just wait to see. If the Celtics get up to that number one seed, then how are you gonna say Jason Tatum isn't in that conversation either? Let's put that out there.
If it happens, we'll see.
If that happens,
he's getting votes for sure. Which was, by the way, a bold prediction of mine that he would finish top five in MVP voting, Tatum. So we'll see.
Oh, speaking of MVPs, I totally forgot about that. DeMar DeRozan should be in this conversation as well. 100%.
I was gonna say that actually. That's my three right there. Right now, the top of the list is Embiid, Giannis, and
DeRozan,
DeRozan. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Steph had it on lockdown, but he's sort of fallen off. And
when he went ice cold the way he did, yeah, that wasn't helping anybody.
And then, like, even though he sort of heated back up, everyone's like, "Nah, Steph, you went ice cold. All right, you had it, but you went ice cold."
Yeah,
we're used to Steph who never goes ice cold. Yeah,
right. Not this year.
This ain't unanimous Steph Curry season. Okay, this ain't.
They were talking about that. They were talking about that last year. Remember when he had that crazy year? And they're like, "Yo, mm-hmm. The Warriors are – they're not even going to make the playoffs. No, he can't be MVP this year.
No, he can't be MVP. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think it's going to – honestly, the way things are bunching up in the Eastern Conference and, like, the thing we just said about, like, Ja Morant, like, yeah, okay, he's the top three, but, like, you're going to have the top five seeds in the Eastern Conference have a legitimate player. A player on their team that has a legitimate case for MVP, which is wild. Like, a legitimate case. Because I don't think there's...
Yeah, it's insane.
I think that... I also think that James Harden going to Philly is going to hurt Joel Embiid's MVP case, because Harden's going to get the ball. You know, it's not going to be all Embiid all the time anymore.
It's like 20 games, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, it'd probably be less. I think Embiid's in that conversation. He's got a really legitimate shot, this year.
Yeah, someone has to go above and beyond, like, you know, Jason Tatum going, you know, 19-1 over the last 20 games and winning that MVP. There we go, baby. Speaking of the top teams in the East, Sunday, March 6th, the Nets come to Boston. Do we get the G League Nets, or do you think anybody's coming back?
No, this is the real thing, man. They're running out of time here. You know, once you creep into March, yep, especially a road game where you can take advantage of Kyrie Irving, they're going all in. You got to send a message. You got to start thinking about your position in the standings now. And you know the lead that the Celtics have on you right now, and you can't let yourself dip all the way down. I mean, look, even if they are to go into the play-in tournament, which they probably have a good chance of coming out of that, that's not ideal. So I think you see them. You see the new look Nets against the Celtics in that matchup.
So let's talk about the Nets real quick, because you're 100% right, Sway. They need to turn their shit around, and they need to do it today, because
they're sliding, man.
Listen to the schedule. They have the Bucks on Saturday night. They have the Raptors on Monday, and then the Raptors on Tuesday, back to back. Then they have the Heat, Celtics, Hornets, 76ers. That is the next seven games for the Nets. And if they go one out of six in that, seven games, which is if Kyrie plays,
they're losing at least four of those. Best case scenario, they're losing four of those games.
if Ben Simmons doesn't get on the court, they're losing five of those. They're losing five out of the last next seven.
For me, that's beside the point. Like, this dude has to get his mind right. He's got to get his body. Like, it's a whole, like, we'll see you in April type of thing. And whatever you can get from you is gravy. But, you know, that's why they're bringing in reinforcements. That's why they're big into the buyout market right now. They have to.
Yeah.
They need some help, man. They need some help.
Their lineup right now of washed Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge actually, like, they're getting vital minutes.
They're doing the most. They're doing the most, yeah. Those washed players are getting everything.
They are so screwed. Like, they are so screwed to think that, you know, the end of their schedule is actually pretty easy, like the last 10 games. Maybe they'll get Durant back for that last 10 games going into the playoffs, but, like, I mean, early March is going to be a struggle for them if they're not ready to go. And I don't think Ben Simmons plays until they go to Philly on March 10th. I don't think he'll be able to play.
You know what? Yeah, he's not going to make that Boston trip. I guess technically you won't see the new look Nets, but I think you see the other guys. And
you think Kyrie's coming to Boston?
I think Kyrie's coming to Boston. Yeah, for sure.
You do?
He has to, because if not, Sean, what are we doing here? Like, what are you afraid?
Get your Gatorade bottles ready, bro. Get your Gatorade bottles ready. Let's go. Let's go.
Like, you can't be that guy right now. You can't. If you are, you're sending an awful message to your teammates, and you're just going to make things worse. Like, you have to show up. You have to show up. Your team needs you now more than ever. So
seriously, I think, like, at the end,
you can't blame the mandate on this one. Like, your ass better be in Boston for that game, right? Next week.
Yeah, man, because this schedule is not. I mean, this schedule
What's that, five
is.
Games?
This is seven games where you go Bucks, Raptors, Heat, Celtics, Hornets, 76ers, and seven
no,
games.
No. I'm talking about looking ahead. Man.
Oh, that was four games
for Celtics.
Four games for the
That's
Celtics.
That's four games, and that takes you to next Sunday, right?
Takes us to next week. Yeah, so four games in 7 days. What do we got, Sway?
Yeah, I'm going 3-1.
You son 3-1. Of a bitch.
And I wouldn't be shocked if it's that Pacers game. I really don't like that game for the Celtics.
No.
On the back-to-back.
I like that game.
Especially on the back-to-back. No, man.
I like that game. I think
I don't like it.
I think that Thursday night Grizzlies game will be – I actually think it'll be a classic. Like, that's going to be a classic game. Like, I don't know if something's going to come out out on top, but you got those two teams that are both, like – poised to be like we're a legit contender type battle. Like I like those ones, like, you know, teams that have something to prove. But yeah, man, I don't know, tough little streak here. You get the 3-game home, we stand 4-0, baby. We're going 4-0.
That would be what, a 6-game winning streak to kick things off.
Yeah,
that's the all-star break.
Yeah, be beautiful. Think of beauty.
17 out of 18.
Jeez. Let's go, baby. Let's go. This is 2009 All Celtics right. Numbers.
Everybody place your bets with Ducha. Hit us up on Twitter. Slide into his DM. Whatever you need to do, and we'll have you'll have your payout in a week. I guess we'll see. We'll see if this thing happens.
Yeah, I'll put 100 up on it. Whoever wants to bet against that, let's go. Put $100 on it right now, dog. Let's go.
Dude has already slapped the $100 bill on the table. You hear that, guys? He hears the fuck around. Hit him up. Hit him up. Hit us up. We get this thing started.
Let's go.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. And next episode, we'll have Joel back. So I'm sure he's got some great stories for us from the island.
Oh yeah,
from Honduras.
Dog, lucky him. Joel. Joel is obviously having like a wonderful vacation, family, everything's down there, but he has taken the best picture of all time. That picture of him with the dolphin when he's like,
oh yeah,
the dolphin's just there. That is legitimately the best picture I've ever seen of all time, bro.
I've never swam with dolphins, man. I'm jealous.
Yo, but it's like he's standing there with his homie. Like, he's just like, yo, it's like 2 a.m. at the club. He's just like, yeah. And the dolphin's just like, what up? Yeah, yeah.
That's good, bro. We out here.
No, that picture. Oh man, I want that on a t-shirt, bro. I want that picture on a t-shirt, man. Just rock it.
So he'll be back next episode with, in case you missed it. In the meantime, guys, make sure you head to Patreon. .com/causeway. We had a really good time with that. There was a 222 day.
Yes.
We had one episode unlocked for 24 hours, and wow, a lot of people listened to it. And I'm not gonna lie, Sean, I was a little anxious. We talked about a lot of that episode. Do you remember that episode? The one I'm talking about? Jeez. College story after college story. It's one thing when you know only the subscribers are gonna be listening to, but when you got your whole damn Facebook friends, Instagram friends, they all had access to it. And this is the thing about Patreon too. They're not gonna tell you who listened to it. All we know is how many people listened to it, and that number was really high. So, but anyways, I got no feedback. Did you? Anyone who's judging me off of those stories, they haven't said shit yet. So I don't know. I don't know what.
Yeah, they're doing the silent judging. I think if they knew who Tunis was, though, they probably would be after him, bro. You know. I think out of all of it, Tunis had the
Tunis
worst.
Tunis made it.
Tunis had the worst look on that episode. Yeah.
Subscribe, patreon.com/causeway if you haven't already, man. Check us out.
Check it
out. You already know. We've been saying this for a while, and it still applies. Just by you subscribing, you've entered your name into winning a free Celtics uniform, free Celtics jersey.
How many jerseys we gave away this year? How many jerseys? Six jerseys?
Overall, six. This year, this will be the first one since it's only been a couple of months to the new year. So we're going to give this one out really soon. Oh, the season? This is going to be the third? Third
unique.
Third
or fourth, yeah. Yeah.
If you combine last seasons all together, yeah, it's been like six. But yeah, this year.
And if you get, if you do pick Marcus Smart, one of the things people don't know, if you do pick Marcus Smart, we actually send you two jerseys. So there you go.
Sean just made that up now. You're just happy he survived the trade deadline. That's what this is.
I'm so stoked, bro. I bought the Marcus Smart jersey. First jersey I bought since Jay Crowder. I bought it. Finally did.
When was this?
At the Suns game, bro. I bought it at the stadium. Old school. Old school. Went to the pro shop and everything, bro.
Right after the game, too?
No, right before the game. Right before the game. We walked into the pro shop. Okay.
Oh, right before, and then you put it on and went pop the tag off and went inside the game.
Yeah, popped the tag off, bro. Walked right in that bitch with a brand new fucking jersey.
Who are you? Jeez.
I get it, bro.
Who does that?
My Paul Pierce jersey I've had my Paul Pierce jersey since I think seventh grade. It's a men's large. It is worn out. It's like coming apart. I'm like, okay, I have to retire this. My only other Celtics jersey is Jay Crowder, and I couldn't wear it that day because they were playing the Suns.
That's the one you were wearing when you made it into the montage for the
Jumbotron playoffs.
Yeah, the Jumbotron. Not only did you make it on the Jumbotron wearing that thing, but they liked this so much that you made it to like the pregame hype, you know, right before the player introduction video, and you were on there, man. That's just so funny.
Yo, that
with
year
the
I
classic
was at the
Sox hat, Crowder jersey, Paula next to you. I wasn't even your fiance yet, just your girlfriend at the time. That's fun, man. Classic.
But you know,
I still got that picture saved somewhere.
How are you gonna say no to someone who's in the Celtics montage pump up montage part? You can't, right? At that point.
Yeah, can't. With the Crowder jersey on and you made it, there you go.
That was the year I was in the building. That was when I bought that half season ticket package. That was awesome.
What'd she have? I want to say she had an IT jersey.
Isaiah Thomas, had a jersey, bro. IT. That's right. She had rocking
that was,
IT.
That was her dude. That was her dude.
She still loves time. Isaiah Thomas and Jimmy Garoppolo, bro. Those are two that she can't get over.
No, a lot of Celtics fans feel the same way.
No. And by the way, can we bring him back? Brad Bingham bring him back? Just bring the guy back. Like, why not?
I don't know. You still got that spot. You sounded like Tommy there for a second.
The little
bring the guy back. Come on! The little guy. Speaking of, before we get out of here, 42 points for Grand Rapids. He's back in the G League. lighten things up? You think he gets signed, if not by the Celtics, maybe somebody else?
Well, I was just actually trying to see how many he put up against the main Celtics yesterday, because I think they played the main Celtics yesterday.
Oh, he played main yesterday? Oh.
Let me see.
Fucking keyboard.
I can't help it, bro. So technically, what, he's on the Lakers G League?
Yeah, it's Grand Rapids, huh?
Yeah. Hold on, let's get the. I don't know. In the G League this year, he's averaging 37.9 points per game.
Yeah, he's only played pretty, like, 3 games, so
which is pretty good. But yeah, that's pretty good, you know. I think if you average 40 points in the G League, you could probably make it into the NBA. And if Brad Stevens doesn't sign him and somebody else signs him, like the Nets, imagine if he's coming off the Nets bench. Whew. Got some problems there, bro.
That could happen, actually.
I don't think he would.
We'll see.
He could go to Philly. He could go to Philly.
You don't think he or would? Really? What do you mean you don't think he would? Isaiah was signed on the team right now. Are you kidding
me? I don't think he'll play with Kyrie.
You think he's going to not go because of Kyrie Irving? If the Brooklyn Nets offered him a contract, he's going, man.
You're probably right. I think if he has
especially a playoff team.
Contract next year.
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because you're on a contender and you're putting yourself on the – you're showcasing yourself, you know, for next season and beyond. But anyways, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Causeway Street. Also, of course, on Instagram. Plenty of content on causewaystreet.com. Joel has not stopped writing, even though he's on vacation. So show him some love there. Check out all the content we have. And of course, if you haven't already, again, patreon.com/causeway. Check us out. Subscribe.
Check it out.
Brand new episode. Like we said, man, a lot of funny college stories in there from Sean and I. Probably one of the funniest episodes we probably put together. So check that one out. One-on-one with Joe Sway. We've got a brand new episode coming out. The newest episode. With Julie Maravilla. She's the first only Honduran female swimmer to represent the country at the Olympics. So I had a really great conversation with her. The connections that we have it extends way beyond our Honduran background, man. With Joel and I, man, it's insane. I'll just say that much. Check it out. Again, patreon.com/causeway. And of course, a brand new episode of After Hours coming up as well. And one subscription gets yourself a chance to win a new Celtics jersey, man. And as Sean just said, if you pick Marcus Smart, I guess you get two.
Get two.
I don't know about that. We'll see. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for us. Until next week, Sean's got you covered for your travel accommodations. Hit him up. He's checking up flights right now.
Let's do it.
What are you checking up? What are you typing back there?
I really just want to get the box score for this main Celtics game, and it's impossible to freaking find, Doug.
We'll have your Isaiah Thomas watch update for next week as well.
I think we do that until he's signed. We are going to give updates about Isaiah Thomas. The only podcast
IT updates
that will give you IT updates on a weekly basis is the Causeway Street Podcast.
That's right. Don't go Googling. We got you covered.
Now, don't even worry about Googling. You're going to end up like this. Checking. That's all you're going to do. Typing all day.
You need your travel agent. All right. Your travel agent got you covered. All right, for Sean Dutra, I am Josue Pavone. We'll see you guys. We'll check you guys out next week.
Later.